Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for this bonus basketball program tonight. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Great to have you here to chat some basketball with us, and who better to chat basketball than to have the savant of the sport? And of course, I speak of my friend Chris in Syracuse. So let's get him on the program. We have a lot of scenarios to cover, and let's get done. It'll be a fun time. So Chris, welcome to the program tonight. Good to have you here for this nice college basketball report. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Vid. Always good to be back on the program.
I like it. And, you know, we were just talking about college basketball last night, and I said it, and I think you agreed with it. This has a feeling that of a possibly special year. I mean, even more than last year, it feels like there could be a lot of juice.
It's nice to have one of your local teams back in the mix, as it would seem, with UCLA. Yeah, it's got to be the best win of the year so far going into Kentucky. I mean, what West Virginia did on Saturday was pretty good too, going into UVA and beating Virginia. But the winning in Kentucky at Kentucky in Lexington, that takes the cake every time.
Oh, it just doesn't happen that often. I mean, the last loss they had was years ago. On their home court, so seeing UCLA do it and then take it to them at the end, I was privileged to watch that game, and Bryce Alford and company really doing a great job. I mean, I'm starting to get to know some of these players, but it's a very athletic team. But I don't want to waste time on this now because we'll cover that in the Pac-12 part of our show. But the point is, you're right. This is a huge win for UCLA, and it sets the table for what could be a great season. Now you just hope they don't blow it against some weak ass team like, you know. Tomorrow they're going to play the Gauchos, UCSB. They do have a tough one against Michigan on the weekend on Saturday, so that could be fun too. Very good. So let's.
I think there's a good amount of juice this year. We do have your elite teams. You know, we have Carolina looking pretty good.
Yep.
We have Duke getting healthy and looking good as they're getting healthy, which should scare everybody, I would think. And of course, Kentucky, you know, they're always young. You know, they have a few returning veterans, but you know Calipari with the recruiting and the freshmen and the one and dones, he loves those. So sometimes it takes them a little while to get rolling,
right? And also in that discussion, Kansas, who's going to go for their 13th conference championship in a row. And, you know, that doesn't mean as much in basketball as it does in football, but it's still a pretty big story because, you know, to win a conference championship is not easy, whether it's in the tournament or regular season, it doesn't matter. I mean, these guys have been really, really good over a long period of time, and in some of those cases, they've been good enough to win a title. So I'll give it to Kansas on that front. I mean, Bill Self, you know, I mean, a lot of guys are like, yeah, the guy kind of chokes in big spots and he's not always doing the greatest with his team in the biggest moments. But overall, it's a pretty, pretty competent, good basketball program. So like, you're right. Like, it's like a lot of the favorites will once again be in the mix. But that's a good thing, too, in this sport, though, because these teams look like they could be very, very tasty.
Yep. Indiana, another historical blue blood franchise back in the mix. So yeah, I think it's all over.
Yeah, that's a good, and like you said, it's a good thing. It should be a lot of fun, and we'll have some upstarts in the middle of that. Defending the championship this year is Villanova. They started the year ranked number 5 according to SI's power ranking meter, and I'm not sure where they are right now, but certainly they had a little bit of a scare last night.
They are number one. They are at the top.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, they should be. I mean, they're defending the title, we'll give it to them.
Yeah, after the Kentucky loss.
Right.
They went up to the top.
So they are now the hunted. Isn't that interesting? Like, you know, they'd often been the team. Well, they'd get the 2 seed, right? They'd get a good seed in the tournament, but nobody would ever think much of them. They would not be taken seriously. Last year, not the last second shot, but pretty close to the last second shot against North Carolina, and they win the whole thing. And it's just an exciting moment. And, you know, we heard from Tommy talking about that a few months ago. What a time to be a Villanova Wildcats fan, right?
Oh, yeah. You got a good, stable program. You know, the coach has been there a long time. He's getting the job done. You can take the criticism, you know, in the somewhat recent past that maybe they haven't, in March, they haven't performed up to their seed level all the time. Pretty sure this is his second championship there, but they've been up there quite a bit, and sometimes they've fallen short, but, you know, 350 teams lose, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at the end of the day, getting to the top, it's not an easy feat. So it's pretty remarkable their ascent to the very peak of the mountain. So on this program tonight, we're going to cover a couple of big storylines, but most of them are centered around coaching moves, and we have new coaches in different places. We have some coaches staying. We might even have coaches on the hot seat, so there's a lot to cover on that front. We'll also look at the increase in offense since they instituted the new 30-second shot clock and the larger three-point arc last year. I mean, the benefits are obvious. I mean, I'm looking at the over-unders on the sport, you know, on various Vegas websites, and they are big. I mean, you're talking about like 140 points over-unders now, so it's pretty remarkable how things have improved on the offensive side of the ball. So we can actually start there. So, you know, you look at the game, they take away a timeout for each team. Is the game more watchable than it's been in a long time with these new rule changes? What do you think of the rules changes as they've played out over the course of the previous season?
It's hard to say. Some of the things such as, you know, the 3-point line and the 30-second shot clock, you know, I really don't know how big of a difference the shot clock has made. A little bit, you know. It gives you more possessions. People want to cut it more, but, man, I'd rather, you know, you see enough bad possessions as it is. You might see worse now. You know, you get some coaches talking, some top coaches talking, yeah, you can get a good shot in 24 seconds. But I just don't want to just see people chucking the ball up at the rim, you know, in bad situations. You get enough of that as it is. And where the problem lies, especially in colleges, compared to say the NBA, is that these kids, they're just not as good of shooters.
Good point.
You know, in the NBA, you get more, I think you get, this is just an opinion, I think you get more scoring because guys are better at making shots, even bad ones. And, you see it in the NBA sometimes, you know, a guy plays perfect defense, he's all up in the guy's face, he doesn't foul, but the guy makes the shot anyway. It doesn't mean it was a good shot.
Right.
It means he made it. And in college, the kids just aren't that good of shooters. I don't think that skill is, not that it's not taught or valued, but I think the guys who get the most attention are the ones who can jump out of the gym and get to the other end of the floor in the blink of an eye. It's kind of like, almost like in baseball, if you're a young guy in the game, a pitcher, and you're not throwing 95, forget about it. It doesn't matter how good a movement you have or how good your location is. They don't care if you're not lighting up the radar gun.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a decent point.
I just watched a game the other night, Syracuse versus UConn in the Garden. Oh, my God, was it brutal to watch. not just because of the outcome,
right,
but make a shot, somebody. It's
yeah.
It can I mean, the final score was only in the 50s, and, you know, it was just abysmal shooting. I think percentages in the 30s. It's, you know, that wasn't a very watchable game.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean, looking at the score, I'm like, is it already the second half? I'm like, I thought that was still the first half when I was looking at it one time. So, yeah, not good, but we will see. So let's also look then at the coaching changes. Any coaching changes you felt were a highlight from the offseason?
Well, the whole triangle of changes that I mean, it was kind of weird. I just was the Jamie Dixon scenario, leaving Pittsburgh, where he was set up. You know, they liked him. He was getting the results. You know, he had good recruiting ties, you know, he was taking a lot of talent out of New York City, even. And he just up and resigns and goes to coach TCU, who has been at the bottom of the Big 12. I think they won two conference games last year. Yes, that's correct. Two conference games all last year, and he wanted to go take the position there. I don't... You know, on one hand, it's, you know, it's the Big 12. It's nothing to scoff at, but you just left a decent setup program, you know, a viable ACC team to go do that. I mean, it is his alma mater. And I guess it's hard to put price tags and stuff on that, but it just seemed odd the way it happened.
Well, yeah, I hear you on that. I mean, sometimes it can be a less than pretty exit or transition from one team to another. So, okay, so Jamie Dixon, a big one to move, a big block, as you would say. Anything else on the table that jumped out to you?
Well, after Dixon left Pittsburgh to go to TCU, Kevin Stallings left Vanderbilt to take the vacated seat at Pittsburgh, which will be fine. His teams are usually pretty good, especially on the offensive end. Sometimes they're lacking on defense, but I mean, he'll get a fair, decent shot. You know, he's coached at, you know, Power 5 conference school before, you know, Vanderbilt being in the SEC. And then the one I'm interested in seeing now replacing Stallings is Bryce Drew from Valparaiso. And he did a fine job there at his alma mater. Everyone remembers that shot years ago that he made for the upset in the tournament. I can't remember off the top of my head who they beat.
Valpo. Let me look that up.
Diving and sliding on the floor after the buzzer and teammates mobbing him, and he just did a great job there. It's going to be interesting to see how he does now that he's, you know, taken a step up competition.
Right on.
The SEC.
Well, you know, it's a good challenge. We'll see what happens. Are you thinking about the one from 1998 against Ole Miss?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's the one.
Bryce Drew. Yeah, good times. Good times.
Also, one other one that I'm interested to see how it goes is Brad Underwood going to Oklahoma State. Brad Underwood, the former coach of Stephen F. Austin.
Oh, I like. Yeah, they were good. They had some. They had some juice in the tournament. You know, they would win a game and they would be challengers.
Yeah. I have it in my notes somewhere. Just the way that it. Stephen F. Austin's performance the past few years definitely, you know, merited a good job for him. Okay, this was it. The last 3 years in conference play, and including this regular season and the tournament, Stephen F. Austin was 59-1.
Wow.
In the league.
That's really good. I mean, that is really good. You can't really get any better than that. I mean, I think I root for him then on his move up. They were fun. That was a fun team. Away we go. Let's then look at our conferences in a nutshell. We'll go through each of the power conferences, and then I'll leave it to you to cover the best of the rest, as we call it. So let's begin with the ACC. We do these in alphabetical order in terms of the conferences. So not so surprisingly, we have North Carolina and Duke at the very top. So let's see your preview of the ACC conferences here. We obviously have some games already in the books, but what do you look forward to in this conference?
I look forward to the night in, night out grind again, because it's very competitive most of the way through. There's not even that many doormats. Georgia, Boston College, they're not any good. They haven't been for a while. Wake Forest, they're a little on the upswing. Georgia Tech, new coach there too, the former Memphis coach, Josh Pastner, has taken over there. Probably going to take him a couple years, if he can turn it around and make it work. I would say he had mixed results in Memphis.
All righty.
But they're going to... I think he'll do an all right job. I mean, they were pretty down anyway. But this is a league that people are starting to talk. You know, how many teams can they get? The same thing every year. How many teams can they get into the tournament? 8 teams, 9 teams, 10 teams. Just how deep it is. I mean, yeah, you have your perennial contenders, Duke and UNC, but you got Virginia still there. Tony Bennett's team, you know, very strong the past couple years. You know, I would have never thought they would have lost to Syracuse in that game and not gotten to the Final Four, but what can you do? What are you going to do?
Right, right.
They've been solid the past few years. There's no real reason to think that they won't be in the thick of it again. Louisville, always there. They're still lacking on the offensive end, but, they play that press suffocating defense that's going to it's going to win them a lot of games and keep a lot of games very low scoring, I think. They have a few good wins so far. Wichita State, Purdue, their only loss is to Baylor, who is, when we get to that, they are on the ascendant. So they're looking pretty good, especially defensively, probably the best I've seen so far. Virginia Tech, they're in the mix. They're looking better than they have been. Syracuse, Miami, Florida State. I'm a little down on Syracuse. They've lost a few recently against okay opposition. UConn, they lost to Wisconsin at Wisconsin, which you can almost see that one coming.
Yeah, but you can knock that. I mean, Wisconsin was a big favorite in the Big Ten, right?
South Carolina, you didn't want to see him lose, and the problem is South Carolina was looking fairly good, mm-hmm. and then they go and they indefinitely suspend one of the probably the main star on the team, Sindarius Thornwell.
Ooh.
So that doesn't bode well, and it's like, well, that how you know if they start tanking without him, how good's that loss going to look?
Right.
Come tourney time, because it was like, okay, Wisconsin, you can write that one off. It's hard to go in there and beat them, especially with Syracuse. You're looking at a somewhat young team, and even the couple veterans, and they brought in a couple veterans that have played, but they were transfers. Andrew White from Nebraska and John Gillen from Colorado State. Fine players, but it takes some time, especially, I've seen it a few times where guys have just been totally out of position in the 3-2 in the 2-3 zone, and much to Jim Boeheim's disgust. He gives some of the best facial expressions in the business, that's for sure. But hopefully they'll tighten that up. But, man, they haven't been making many shots. you look at a team like Florida State, they'd be, you know, I'd call them a bubble team come March. Xavier Rattan, Mays, Dwayne Bacon, fantastic backcourt. They lost their entire front court to graduation and whatnot. So they're hurting for size and experience. You know, Clemson probably on the wrong side of the bubble. NC State, same thing. Miami's still out there, still up there. You know, they've already beaten Stanford. Not a bad win. They lost to Florida and Iowa State. You know, good teams. Florida's ranked now. Iowa State's ranked. You know, these are teams that are going to be in the mix. You could say come March. You know, top three or four: Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, and Virginia. You know, Virginia did not look. I saw them. You know, they always played a plotting offense anyway. But without Brogdon, it's like London Perentes is having to handle the ball all the time now. So they're kind of trying to work it out, feel out the way they are on offense. But man, I saw before the last game that they were allowing a nation lowest 44 points per game.
Wow. Those games must be some watch, right? 40 with the shot clock, 44 points per game.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, some of them were fire, you know, big time cupcakes, as Dickie V would call them, but
right.
Man, holding them to an average in that. But yeah, that would be my top four after that, you know.
Okay.
After that, it gets more, you know, subjective. Notre Dame, Bonzi Colson still back, Beecham, Vestoria, new freshman there, Temple Gibbs, Ashton and Sterling Gibbs' younger brother in the backcourt, probably get into the mix. You know, they're always going to shoot it. They play hard for Mike Gray. You know, these are, after the top four, like four through ten, those six teams could, you know, would be hard to predict.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's a good look at the ACC, and let's go look at the Big Ten now. And we were talking about Wisconsin already. They are the favorite. A couple other teams I imagine would be a player here. You mentioned Indiana. And Michigan, off to a very good start. And when we look at them against UCLA, if UCLA, I don't know who they're playing this before this game, but Michigan had only one loss when I last looked at the matchup, and UCLA has, I believe, only one loss, if that. I think they might be undefeated at this point. But the point of this is the Big Ten is a pretty good conference this year. So let's look at who your tops are in this conference.
Even with the two losses, I'm still going to go with Wisconsin. They're a veteran team. Nigel Hayes, Bronson Canning, you know, they've been around. They've been to the top level of the sport. You know, a couple years ago with Bo Ryan at the helm, Greg Gard's still doing a good job. But Zach Showalter, I almost said Buck. But yes, Zach Showalter. Should have put Zach Britton in the game.
Yes, he should have. But we were talking about that a few weeks ago. Oh, my goodness, terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, Zach Showalter, Ethan Happ, the big guy down low. He has that big guy, I can't finish near the rim deal. But he's a big body, and often he does manage to put it in. They're just the most experienced group. You know, they've beaten Syracuse, Oklahoma, Georgetown, Tennessee. Their losses were to North Carolina in Maui, and they did not look good. The Heels really looked. After that game, I thought, wow, the Heels might be the best team in the country. The way that they took apart that veteran Wisconsin squad in the Maui finals. The Maui gym finals. yeah. They lost to Creighton early on at Creighton, not the end of the world. But talking about the Tar Heels, you know, they went and they beat Wisconsin and Maui. That would bring me to my second team in the Big Ten, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tar Heels went into Assembly Hall last week and got shut down by Indiana. That place was loud. It was probably the best environment I've seen this year, probably in a long time. It was just a rabid fan environment in there. It was so much fun. And Indiana looked like the better team that night. So, I mean, they beat Kansas. They beat UNC.
Wow.
Of course, their one loss is to Fort Wayne. In Fort Wayne.
Well, that's bizarre. That's outrageous, but it's bizarre.
It is. It happens. But that's one of the things I love about college basketball is that those things have a chance to happen.
Right.
And you know, and the people in Fort Wayne, they're going to remember that forever.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I would like to have seen that game. It's too bad I missed it, but...
No, I don't think that was on TV.
Oh, it wasn't on TV? Okay.
No.
That's true. Some of these games aren't on TV, right?
That was during all the Thanksgiving tournaments, and that wasn't a Thanksgiving tournament.
Oh, okay.
but just looking at like the scoreboard, it's like, what's going on?
Right. Gosh, I mean, it may have been one of those scenarios where they wouldn't even allow you to bet on the games because it was probably such a big point spread.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if that one was there or not. It's fun. After that is, you have a slew of other teams. Purdue is very good. I mean, they really haven't beaten anybody that good yet. Auburn, which is okay. They have looked good. They lost to Villanova in a close one. They lost to Louisville in a close one. I still think they're a very good team. And you bring up Michigan. You know, they have lost twice. They lost to South Carolina. And they lost to Virginia Tech by 3. But they beat Texas last night. They beat Marquette. They beat SMU. They're a good team. They kind of were flying under the radar. They got most of their guys back is what the big part is. But they don't get Caris LeVert back. He was injured at the end of the year. You remember he had the foot problem, the big guy there.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's not back. He left. They still have the backcourt, though. Abdul Rahman and Derek Walton, who can really, really shoot the three. And he had that on display last night against Texas. If he gets going, and they have a few other kids who can shoot the three as well, it's just, you know, if they get, I'm not certain that they're the best team around. It's like if I had to make a guess, I would guess that UCLA beats them. But, you know, you never, I think this is a team that's going to be hard to predict night to night.
Interesting. Okay. So for Big Ten, just to recap, you have Michigan, Indiana, and then of course the big favorite, Wisconsin, for which I agree. I think they're the top. They're the team to beat in that conference for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's other interesting teams. Maryland still has Mello Trimble.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State. Can you ever count out Michigan?
Oh,
State?
Right. Yeah. No, you know, yeah. Tournament time.
I mean, they have struggled early.
Yep.
They have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And for one, I guess, you know, this became that Tom Izzo actually apologized to the team for the schedule that he had them play.
Mm.
Just so much travel to get to all those marquee events.
Right.
I mean.
Well, you got to give them credit for scheduling big events, though, because they go to Chicago a lot, right? And then they end up going all over the place, yeah.
The Garden, they were out in Hawaii, and... for the Armed Forces deal. They go everywhere.
They do.
You know, they've lost to Arizona. They've lost to Kentucky. Baylor, Duke. You know,
they played all these teams,
younger,
though.
It's That's a younger team for yeah. Tom Izzo.
Oh, really? Yeah, because usually they're known for experience, so that's interesting.
Well, they got two guys out, including their biggest as in size-wise, Gavin Schilling. He's out, and he might not play. And now the new guy, who everyone's gaga over, Miles Bridges, and he's looked he's looked every bit equal to the hype. But now he's out a couple weeks, I guess, with an ankle sprain. So, you know, they got Aaron Harris still. He was the transfer from West Virginia. I think he was maybe even a couple other places, but he's still trying to lead them. They still have Nairn, who's a good distributor, but he's not a scorer. He is a passing point guard and a defensive guard. But, you know, just when you want to count Michigan State out, it becomes March, and there they are, last year notwithstanding.
Well, yeah, but that was like the first time that had happened in like a decade. So, you know, I think we'll see them back next year.
Yeah, you can't do a league preview for the Big Ten and not mention them. It's
right. It's true. You can't do a college basketball preview and not mention Tom Izzo.
No, because when you pick against them, that's when they come alive.
Yeah, it's true. And that has happened repeatedly. I'm like, oh yeah, this team, they're past their prime. It's over. I'm not dealing. You know, they're not going to be a factor. And then they are. And then they end up in the Sweet 16. And then they end up in the Elite Eight. Sometimes they end up in the Final Four. So it is really true. Like, you just never want to count them out. That's how good the coaching is. Very good. So let's go to the Big 12 now, or the some would call it the Big Kansas. But you pointed out two teams already that could be contenders with Kansas this year. Baylor is one. Texas with Shaka Smart is another. And it should be not just one team in this conference this year. But Kansas probably still wins. However, at least they're going to have some teams that got to beat on the way to get there. So your thoughts on the Big 12. What do we see on the table for Kansas and these other competitive teams?
Well, I'm picking Kansas again just because...
I mean, everybody is, right? I mean, I will too.
I mean it'd be really tough not to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing is everyone looks, 12 consecutive conference titles, that league must suck, and they don't. That's at least not the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of competition. You know, there's several good teams. Baylor has impressed me from the get-go, from that first Tuesday of the year there when they took on Oregon and they dominated them. Then they were down in their whatever tournament they were in. They were down to Louisville. You know, had trouble getting the offense going against the against Patino's press. And they came back, and, you know, they have two really good big men with Mastin and Jonathan Motley. And Motley has wrecked teams. He catches the ball down low. He's in good position, and he goes at and he just turns and goes at the hoop. He's developed some more moves. His game has gotten very complete, and they get him the ball where he needs to get the ball, which is probably the most important part about feeding the post and, you know, the big man game. They already have wins over Oregon, Michigan State, Louisville, and Xavier. And VCU. It's incredible. And no losses. It's incredible what they have, what they have so far. Iowa State, another ranked team. They beat Miami. Their losses came to a very good Gonzaga team and a pretty good Cincinnati team with Monte Morris and Nazmir Drew Long. Deontay Burton. You know, it's a veteran squad, and they've proven themselves the past few years.
Good deal. So certainly not just one team in that conference this year.
No. Nope.
Very exciting. Let's move on to the
West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia too.
West Virginia with that. Yes, but their one loss is to Temple, and like I said in the open, mm-hmm. they went to Virginia and beat Virginia with their press. You know, that's strength versus strength.
I was going
right
to say
too.
That's like they're beating him at their own game.
Both teams up in your face and pressing and
wow,
they create.
What was the final score of that game, though? Was it like 30-22 or something?
No, I don't think it was that bad. It wasn't pretty.
Right.
West Virginia, they did force a lot of turnovers in that game. That mm-hmm. that was the difference, is that the Virginia offense couldn't handle it.
Right.
Let me check on the score there.
You just want to
66-57.
It's not as bad as I would have expected. So I'll give him that. All right. So now let's see about the next conference in our preview slash. It's really just our report. You can't really call it a preview because the games are happening even as we speak. We have Gonzaga playing, just completely trashing. Who are they playing again? But whoever they're playing. Oh, Washington, yeah.
Lorenzo Romar.
Lorenzo Romar. Good old Lorenzo Romar.
That's what I want to see, is his clueless face sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, that's right. You know, our friend Annie Seattle has certainly picked on him this over the years. I mean, for good reason. Like, he's just...
Oh, yeah.
No, he's got definitely reason to. I mean, his teams have just definitely blown games, and he's certainly looked kind of lost out there once every now and again. So there you go. All right.
When they blew that huge lead to, I think it might have been, or it was either Washington State or Oregon State, some team that sucked. And they were up, I don't know how many points. Andrew Andrews had like 50. Did he have 50 in that? He might have had 50 in that game. They sat him down, yep. being up 20-some-odd points. And they had to bring him back in the game. I won't even say, won't even talk about what it did to certain scenarios.
Uh-oh.
But I'm sure that pissed a lot of people. It pissed me off.
I'm sure there was talk about it. Yep.
In any case, you know, it is a report. But it's a report and a preview because, yeah. you know, league play hasn't started yet. And I think it's a good time to talk about things, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen the teams play. There's somewhat of a body of work to look at.
Yep.
But there's still, you know, the majority of the season to go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, this is barely the infancy of the season. I mean, we have so much more to cover as the season goes. I mean, in terms of the season itself, there is so much more to cover. So we are just getting started. I mean, this is just the shoelaces to what could be a great run. You know, you tie up the shoelaces on the shoe and then start running, and then suddenly the trail becomes the big part of the season. And then when you come back, that's usually when the tournament gets underway. So it is pretty exciting. Let's see. So, you know, Kentucky's exciting too, and they will very easily lead the SEC. Another conference for which I think a lot of people feel like it's just a one-team conference. Do you see any argument to that as Kentucky heads and shoulders above the rest? Who are the teams to watch here in the SEC?
You know, it was a three-bid league last year, and that's, I would say they probably get three again, maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the top. And you know, they're trying. They've brought in some more high-profile guys to coach. Avery Johnson at Alabama. You know, I think he's going to do good things there. He already is. It's just not there yet. Bruce Pearl at Auburn. You know, they're trying. They've made – the conference itself has tried to make an effort to be better at the whole basketball thing and invest in it and play premium, you know, play good opposition in the non-conference, and they're trying. But, I mean, I would be shocked if the conference title game was not Kentucky versus Florida. They're the best two teams in the league. You know, Florida, you know, they lost to Duke last night. They didn't look that bad. They lost to Gonzaga earlier again, but they beat Seton Hall. They beat Miami. Then, you know, those are very good. Those are pretty good teams. They're ranked. They're number 23 right now. I believe it's the first time they've been ranked in the Mike White era. And it's, you know, probably good things still yet to come. But no one's touching Kentucky. I mean, Georgia, probably a tournament team, probably the other tournament team. They have a few good pieces. It's a level below. If there's another team that would get in, it's probably either Vanderbilt or Texas A&M.
Okay.
Texas A&M's still fairly good. They already beat Virginia Tech. They lost. They have not done a very good job against the local Dave in the City teams. Losses to UCLA and USC.
Hmm. Not good.
So, not good in Southern California.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, after that, I mean, Arkansas, not bad. They always play stingy defense. Auburn with Bruce Pearl. I mean, but they're not tournament-ready teams. They won't be. My guess is Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, and the tournament again.
Okay. Yeah, and I figured as much as well. I mean, I thought that
Actually, I think it was Vanderbilt and not Georgia.
Okay. But the Kentucky and Florida part.
But this year I have it reversed. Probably Strude's going to need a little bit of time. And, you know, Luke Cornett's a good shooter for a big guy. These are just mediocre to good teams.
Gotcha.
And hopefully it gets better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could see the
Johnny
seeds.
Johnny Jones should be fired for what happened last year. I don't know why he's still at the job.
Johnny Jones, yeah. For sure.
They're awful.
Yeah, with you. Good deal.
Oh, did you see the breaking baseball news?
Aroldis
Chapman. Coming back to the Bronx.
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, Cap kind of called that, so... Wow, there you go. So Chapman goes to the Yankees again. I mean, it's not really a huge
surprise. With ring and toe.
Yeah, with a ring. That's pretty wild. So he goes and wins the championship for the Cubbies and then goes back to New York. And I think if you're looking at it from both sides, I think from the Yankees' point of view, they were struggling without a guy to close it at the ninth. I mean, they didn't have Andrew Miller either, so it was just getting kind of ridiculous with Betances trying to be the eighth and the ninth inning guy at the same time. So this is a good get for the Yankees and for the Cubs. You know, you don't want to overpay for a guy like that. So
right, and he wanted the money, and he wanted 6 years.
Yeah,
and a lot of money.
That is a lot of years too.
But I believe what I just read was the Yankees gave him 5.
Okay,
the
okay.
Cubs weren't interested in 6.
Gotcha. No, and I think they played this brilliantly, perfectly. I mean, you know, how hard could it be to find a guy to close the ninth with all the other talent they've got already in the pitching staff? I mean, most of the work is done for you with the starter, especially if Lester's pitching. That's like 8 innings right there, so you only have to worry about 2. I mean, they can figure that out. Rondon could do it. Who are they getting to do it? Montgomery, somebody like that, I forget. But there's other guys on the table. I mean, it's not over. I mean, Melanson? Like, he went to San Francisco. And
he got paid.
Yeah, he did. I mean, they were desperate, man. I mean, the Giants had nobody to close the game. Like, they were terrible. Their bullpen was easily the worst in the worst west of the Rockies by far. And possibly the worst altogether. I mean, it was so bad. It was just crazy how bad it was. So, certainly the Giants were going to make a reaction to that. And, there's a lot of money, but I think that they'll feel like it's worth it.
All right. Sorry about the tangent.
No problem. That's good news, though. That's big news. I mean, I think, again, like I said, I think they both sides played this pretty well. The Yankees are going to pay through the nose for this guy, but I think it's a good play, though. I mean, we saw how good he was. As long as he stays healthy, he should be fine. So, Very good. Okay, yeah, yeah, you're right. Let's get back on track. So now we go to the Pac-12, and this is going to be a really competitive conference. I mean, we were already talking about Oregon being a good team. Cal is going to be a competitive team. So we already knew there were good teams. Utah can be pesky. But then all of a sudden, UCLA, out of nowhere, just scoring points up and down the court, 95 points per game, and we mentioned the big win against Kentucky. I mean, all of a sudden, this team, whose fans were done with Steve Alford, absolutely finished. They wanted him gone. I mean, I showed you that big billboard that was on campus last year, or maybe earlier this year, to be specific. But, I mean, they're fed up. They wanted him to go, but his son and his father, the coach, and to a lesser degree, his wife, who was on the sideline just yelling at him for some reason, they have led this team to an incredible start, 9-0, as a start to face the Wolverines this weekend. So, wow, what a spot to be in for the Bruins. Doesn't mean that they're going to finish with 30 wins or anything, but this is as good a start as you could have possibly imagined. I mean, did you see this coming, GYOS? I mean, Chris, I'm getting mixed up. Did you see it coming?
When you bring in a guy as hyped as Lorenzo Ball to play point guard, mm-hmm. you got to wonder, is he that good? Is he going to be that good right away?
Right.
And he is.
Wow.
Yeah, he really is. So, that's kind of one of those wait and see deals. Kid Alford, he likes to shoot and he's pretty good at it. I didn't know they were going to start pumping the tempo like that, though. That's, you always got out and the Alford coach teams for being too slow and yep. methodical, and now they just get the ball, they turn, and they go.
Yeah. It's shocking, isn't it? It's stunning that how much they've changed their style of play.
Now, if you want to talk about an increase in offense and a team scoring points, look no further.
Right. Now, do you think they'll keep this up? Do you think they'll stay at this pace? I mean, they're not going to score 95 points a game the rest of the season, but could they at least be a high-scoring team? Like, could they be tops in the Pac-12 by year's end?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I had to revise my thing, my prediction, my thoughts anyway, from the beginning of the season. I think they're going to win the league.
Wow, so you really been sold on them. That's
really
pretty remarkable.
Like them.
Wow.
No, they're... They still are a little untested.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, after they, there's clueless Lorenzo. Yeah, your team's down about 30 points. Do something.
But do something. That's funny.
It's 49-23 at the start of the second half. It's, it's tough to say. They had the really good game against
Kentucky,
and maybe that's all you need to see. But the really only other competition they haven't lost, but the only other competition they played was Texas A&M,
mm-hmm.
and they beat them. But we'll see when we get into league play. There's other decent teams in there. A lot of people were on Oregon, but man, they. I know there's still injury problems, but Dylan Ennis is coming back, and they still have Benson. Peyton Pritchard is going to do good, but it just hasn't gelled yet. That game against Baylor, they looked so bad. They lost to a UConn team that's not that good, who's had their own early struggles. My expectation is kind of tempered on them.
Interesting. Well,
no, I'm sorry. They beat UConn. They lost to Georgetown, but I'd say the exact same. I'd say it word for word what I said about UConn. Not that good and struggling early.
Wow.
Are the Hoyas. I actually slipped Oregon down to the three slot, have the Arizona Wildcats in the two spot.
Oh, that's solid, okay.
Yeah, they're Alonzo Trier should still be scoring scoring up and down the floor, as you said. I think the, you know, they didn't have him last year, so I don't know how big the whole Ray Smith retirement from basketball thing is going to be. I mean, he never, unfortunately for him, just because of all the knee injuries, he had to stop playing, but he's never really done much for them because of the injuries. So, you know, it's hard to miss what you didn't have.
Mm.
Obviously, you missed the potential, but, you know, they're always going to be in the mix. They're an elite program. You know, sometimes they also fall short in the big spots, but on a night-in, night-out basis in league play, you know they're going to be right there. There's no reason for them not to be.
Yeah, I see you on that. I mean, I do think it's peculiar that Sean Miller has never made a Final Four, though. I think that's weird, because it seems like they've had some talented teams, too, over the last 10 years.
Oh, yes, and if, you know, at some levels and with some programs, that's how you're going to be evaluated.
Right.
You know,
Chris, they've had some of those at home, too. They've had, like, some of those tournament semifinal games. They're basically in their home market. Like, they'd be in L.A. or they'd be in, like, Anaheim or something like that. So, they have every advantage, too.
And it is. And, you know, that is a tough way to be evaluated on making the Final Four.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some level, if you want that, the job with that prestige and that, you know, payola that comes with it, you know, you gotta perform to a certain standard.
Right.
And I mean, how much more leash he gets. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's ever been really a huge call for his head, has there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's really gotten to that point, but I think the outsiders, like the other college basketball media, does make that question. That does wonder about that, because they're thinking, well, you know, you get these guys, like, you know, like Derek Williams. I think that's what his name was, Derek Williams. And then you get these other players, and some of them make the NBA, and you say, well, gosh, they got these NBA guys, but they keep doing the same thing in the tournament. So, you know, that's always what you look at.
I think it's a fair question.
I do too. So, but it should be a good team for the immediate term. I think these guys are going to be pretty solid. So I agree. It should be a fun watch. And I still have to get to know these players, because, you know, it's new guys each year with all these teams, but Arizona is no different. So, I look forward to seeing what they've got.
You know, it seems like the more visible and more elite the program, the higher the turnover rate.
Right. But at least you know that you're getting great players in exchange, usually in these spots. So, always an interesting spot. Okay, very good. So you've got Arizona, you've got UCLA. That is definitely quite a rebound. And I certainly hope they can hang on to that. And I don't, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. And behind that, you got some decent teams that are going to, you know, be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Cal, Stanford, Colorado, USC.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Who's that guy that's on Colorado that's really good at shooting? Is he still there? Booker or something? No. I don't know if I have that name.
No. But there's a new kid, Derek White, who's going to be a good shooter.
Nice.
He's a transfer in from a Division II school, and he was one of the top players at that level. And they also don't have the big guy, Josh Scott, anymore. But they get Xavier Johnson back. That'll be a plus.
Nice.
In the front court. That'll help. They just beat Xavier tonight in a wild finish in a wild game at home. But that's a pretty good win, no matter how you cut it. That's a pretty good win.
Cal,
you know, Ivan Rabb, he's pretty good. He's been, you know, I've watched them in Pearl Harbor the last two nights, and he's been hampered. He hurt his finger in their game previously against Alcorn State, and man, he was struggling. He could kind of catch the ball and flip it in. He could grab rebounds. Against Princeton, he had a couple key blocks late. I mean, he just put his hands up and he took the shot away. And you know, it's a big reason why they even won that game, because the shooting in that game, really on both sides, was horrendous, which really you really wouldn't say about Princeton that much this year, or really any time. They're known for being pretty good at shooting the basketball, but you know, both teams had troubles last night, and Rab was a big part. But I mean, when he went to the free throw line, I think he was 0-6 or 0-7. He just with the handle the way it was, he just could not put the ball through, and he had to be taken. They were playing. Konzo Martin was playing offense defense with him lately, and keeping him in on the defensive end because they just couldn't have him out there. Cal missed a lot of free throws last night. Mm. I think they made like the last 6 or 7 or something like that, which was good. But I mean, they started 3 for 16 from the line.
Well, that's atrocious. Wow.
Yeah. It was frustrating to watch.
I can imagine. Okay,
Stanford, so. Stanford, new head coach, Jared Haas. Reed Travis is still there. You know, they don't have Roscoe Allen anymore, which is going to hurt. You know, all those teams are going to be competitive. USC, you know, they've already beat Texas A&M, SMU, BYU, you know, good teams. I think, why am I blanking on his name? The Footer Gulf Coast guy.
Oh, Andy Enfield, yeah.
Enfield, yes. Yes, Enfield. You know, I think he's getting things in order. It's taken a little time, but those teams, any of those teams I mentioned can compete for a tournament spot in March. I don't see why they can't. I mean, the bottom of this league is a little atrocious. Washington State, bad. Mm-hmm. UW, bad. Oregon State, bad.
Wow.
Arizona State, not that good. You know, the coach's kid transferred.
What? You mean Arizona State?
I think
State?
He had to with the... Yeah, Cullen Neal.
That's funny.
Craig Neal's kid. He transferred, but I think he had to get a fifth year or whatever, the whole grad transfer.
Yep, that's usually thing. What... Yeah, that's the idea of the grad transfer. You get the extra year.
He's in the SEC now. Mm-hmm. Auburn or Ole Miss, one of the two. But he's still taking three-pointers.
There you go.
you know, you mentioned Utah, but, you know, they're not going to be what they were in the last year or two.
Oh, okay. Duly noted.
In fact, the word rebuilding is being thrown around a little bit. But, you know, I do like the coach, Krestowiak. So I think they'll give good effort, but it's just not going to be what it was last year.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, they've earned they've earned this year of rebuilding, don't you think? I mean, they've had some very solid years as a team in that conference, so they've done a pretty good job. So if there's a year to rebuild, I think they've have that right to rebuild.
Oh, absolutely, unless you're Kentucky or you're Duke or you're North Carolina, you're going to have a down year every now and then,
yeah,
or a little down period. I think it's just natural, the way that a natural cycle in the game. And unless you're one of those teams, and I think most people understand it.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, expectations aren't always that high at every college basketball program. So when you talk about even you going back to USC, like, if Enfield was in Kentucky doing what exactly he is doing, he would be on the hot seat. But this is USC, their basketball program. They're just happy to have some progress. And so it's a very different culture when you talk about, like, different schools and what they do with basketball.
Right, and at a place like Kentucky, he would have different, i.e. better resources than he does right now at USC.
This is true. This is very true.
Absolutely. To get the job done. So, you know, you got to take a look at the overall picture.
Yep, I think I'm with you on that. So, very good on the Pac-12. Now let's look at what's left over, and so the best of the rest, and there are a lot of good conferences out there. You have the A-10, you have the... You have the new Big Ten, so the new Big East, so to speak.
Big East.
Yeah, the MAC.
They're right up there.
Oh yeah.
Big East.
No, I figured as much. Yeah, I figured as much. Right. I mean, they have some pretty solid teams
there.
Well,
they got the number one team and the defending champ. They got the number one team and the defending champion.
Right. Right.
So that helps.
Oh, of course. The home of Villanova. Lest I forget, of course. So we look at all these other teams. One other team I wanted to ask you about was Wichita State, because it seemed like they could be on the way down. Do you see that them coming back with the same kind of fire they've had in years past?
Well, they're going to be taking a step back this year mm-hmm. without Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
I think looking at it, and the note I made was they don't have any big time seniors that will be leaving after this year.
Okay.
So if they take a step back this year, you know, Greg Marshall is a great coach, I think, and he's built something. Once you build a program and you kind of get the machine rolling, especially in a league like that, it tends to keep rolling. I don't think there's a reason why they can't have somewhat of the level of success they've been having. I don't think they're the favorites even in their league this year. I think that honor goes to Illinois State. They have Paris Lee returning and Deontay Hawkins. They returned three of their top four. They have the talent. They have the experience. Wichita State, probably number two in the Missouri Valley. They still have Connor Frank Camp, who was a transfer from Kansas. Always good to have one of those guys around. So I think this year will be a learning year for some of their guys.
Okay.
And next year, I think they probably come back to the tournament if they don't make it this year.
All right. So still a reason to watch.
I don't see them just fading into oblivion and just going completely away.
Okay. Well, good to know that. I mean, you know, you'd hate to see them completely disappear because they've given us some pretty exciting moments in years past. So then let's look at these other teams. What else should we be looking at as we go through the conference? We mentioned Big East already. We have Villanova as a big favorite there and doing the job so far. So who are the other teams to look for in these mid-major conferences and other conferences we have not covered?
Well, just from the Big East, several to look out for. Mm-hmm. Creighton, very good team right now. And they beat Wisconsin. They beat Ole Miss, NC State, Akron, which is a fairly good team. Seton Hall just took care of Cal tonight. They look on the upswing. Xavier, even with the loss tonight, their only previous loss was to Baylor. Marquette, still doing what they do. Butler, Providence. After you get past Butler and Marquette, that's Providence. You know they lost their two guys. Their two big guys. They're the guard and the forward. There. Yeah.
No, that's all right. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. But they lost their two star players. Chris Dunn and Ben Bentil.
Okay.
Chris Dunn, yeah, the guy who came back. But a lot of those teams are probably going to go play in the tournament. And then you have a team like Georgetown who was, picked fairly high coming into the year and just, losing to Maryland in an atrocious end of game. I don't know what to call it, but they lost their minds. They're bad fouls, even worse turnovers. You know, they lost to Wisconsin. They lost to OK State. They lost to Arkansas State, which is... That might have been the one where the people in the building were chanting, "Fire Thompson." I don't know. But that's bad.
Well, that is really bad, because I know other people have wanted his head, but if the fans inside the building are saying the same thing, well, then you know things are going south.
Yeah, but that is a loaded conference.
Yeah.
From Nova on down, the top six, seven teams are very good. Xavier and Butler have become perennial contenders. They're not the cute, really, the Cinderellas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're going to be good, you look at them as being a good program, not just a team that has a good year every now and then, but sustained success. And I think that's what you look for, sustain. We've kind of been a theme that's been rolling through this whole show, is sustaining the success year to year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things ebb and flow some, but, you know, you don't vanish, you don't have sub 500 years, things like that. You you lose a big piece, you bring in more pieces to replace them.
And that's usually a tribute to good recruiting and good coaching, yeah? So good to see that. Let's see. So that pretty much covers everything. I can't think of anything else to get to. We've mentioned really all of the capable teams this year. So I'll give it to you for final thoughts as we enter the season, or as we continue the season. And we'll look at, I'm sure, like you said, conference play is still coming up, and it shall be really fun. I look forward to some of these games. So what are your final thoughts as we get into the meat of our college basketball season this year, Chris?
Just that I think it's going to be fun. I think we have more, you know, the complaint. What was the complaint last year? There's no elite team.
Oh yeah.
Maybe the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there's an elite team, but you have a handful that are maybe a little bit above most of the rest, and it's going to be hard. I mean, you got to wonder about this Gonzaga team that I'm watching right now.
Right.
They're number eight right now. You know, they've been to the tournament 18 years in a row, 17 of that under Mark Few. People are calling this, you know, Few's most complete team ever.
Mm-hmm.
But now will it stand, or, you know, is it going to fall apart in the tournament again?
Yeah.
I think a school as small as Gonzaga is, I mean, just the size of the school, you take what they're giving you.
No, that's a fair point. It is a small school. You're right.
But, I mean, you know, you get so close, eventually you want to break through.
Naturally.
This isn't like women's college basketball. You know, teams have a chance to break through.
That is correct, because the windows are there. You'll have your shot. You'll have your window. You'll be there. You'll have it there for the taking.
Yeah, you know, the women's game, it's like everyone's playing for second, if that.
Yeah. It's true. It used to be Tennessee, right, with women's college basketball. Now it's UConn?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they beat the number two team again tonight, and like, it was something insane that I saw. Like, the last, since Muffet McGraw's been at Notre Dame, she's like, oh, I think this makes it 0-6 against UConn versus everyone else, 118-2.
Gosh. They're 0-6 against UConn, but the same team can beat everybody else. Wow.
That's not a good sign. But, you wonder about this Gonzaga team. You wonder how the American Conference is going to look.
Mm-hmm.
Cincy, Houston, SMU, Memphis. Memphis with with Tubby Smith on the bench now. Might be interesting to see what he can do there. You know, capable coach, but he's had his ups and his downs and, you know, the whole story there, his journey, several stops. A Temple team that's, you know, a little young, but they've shown some sack early. The A-10, Bull Rhode Island, you know, a healthy E.C. Matthews is a great thing, but, man, for some reason they always seem to fall a little short, even when they're supposed to be good. VCU still rolling for the most part. We saw Davidson tonight. Dayton. I mean, we got, you know, there's a lot of teams that are decent in these other conferences. It'll be a good time. I mean, I like seeing that. Because especially in those kind of leagues, you know, every game really, I think it matters a little bit more. You know, if people say games don't matter until March, and you know, I don't agree with that, but. You know, when Duke plays North Carolina, it's a huge game. But they're both going to the tournament.
Right.
We all know it.
Right. This is true.
Other games are, especially, you know, once you get to the conference tournaments for those leagues, you know, they're sudden-death knockout games.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, the big dream goes, yeah, you might go to the NIT, the CIT, the CBI, the WTF. You know, there's so many of them now. But when did they do the Vegas 16 that had 8 teams last year? That was brand new.
Oh, yeah, this is right. They did have one of those Vegas tournaments of some sort. So, interesting.
Old Dominion, I think, might have won that. I can't even remember.
I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, they all know. It's like, I think if you ask most teams, would they rather... especially some of those teams. Well, I mean, if you asked them, would you rather go to the NCAA tournament, have to play in Dayton, and then be a, you know, be a 16 seed or a 15 seed? Or would you rather go to the CBI and, you know, have a chance to win a few games in advance? I think most of them would want to go to the tournament. I really think that's the goal. So... that's why I think a lot of this stuff is fun, and everything's so interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really fun to watch. And the other thing I love about it is it's winter. I don't do much else, and there's always a game to watch.
That is true. I mean, you can catch up on a lot of the action just by hanging around and checking out a couple nights. Big Monday. I mean, it used to be bigger, but there's Big Monday. You get the big rivalry day, and so. It's true. There's a lot of layers to college basketball, which is unique, and I think it shall be a good time. So, Chris, thanks again for your expertise tonight. It shall be a nice year, and I'll keep all of these tips in mind as we go through the season. So, I look forward to following along with you as off air, and then we'll be back here on the air in a few months as we preview our NCAA tournament. So, this will set us up greatly. So. My thanks to you, and I hope you enjoy all the games. Enjoy the weekend too, and stay warm out there.
Yeah, temperature's gonna be dropping here. Might get some more snow, but that is living here. but thanks for having me on. I always enjoy coming on and talking. And yeah, we'll do it again when the season starts ramping up into its next phase.
I like it. All right. Well, good times. We'll catch up then. Take care, sir.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bud. Take care. That's Chris in Syracuse, and that's our program. Thanks for joining us for this special college basketball report. Make sure to keep an eye on all these teams throughout the season. Enjoy all the games. Have a great time. Enjoy your winter days. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.